thought I was getting with the grown-ups in here tonight. I asked them over here if I have to act like a grown-up tonight, since, you know, most Wednesday nights, you know, you just pretend. But tonight, after I looked over, we're going to just continue what Pastor Andrew's been doing. But let me just say this. As I went over it, it made me think I was back in seminary. Because I told him, I said, this is like going through one of our Old Testament survey classes. In my Old Testament survey class, we would go through book by book, basically doing the exact same thing that you're doing in here Wednesday nights. I said, man, that's bringing up some memories, some good, some scary, but from seminary days. But it's been a couple of moons ago since those days. But I do appreciate him asking if I could join you guys tonight and fill in and all. I'm looking forward to it. It actually made me kind of dig a little deeper on some things as I was looking through this, on Chronicles and all. But before we do get started, we want to spend a moment, some time in prayer. And I know that you have your prayer list, and it's listed out. Got a lot of things on it. But in addition to some things to be praying for, our children and the youth in the back tonight. With the children, they're going to be going through their normal gospel project studies tonight, but what they're going to do is kind of knock that off a little bit early, and they're going to do an Easter egg hunt for the children tonight, with the younger ones in the playground area and the older ones out on the side lot and all. So be praying for them as they do that. And we had a really good turnout for that tonight with a lot of young ones. And then be praying for the youth. Kim and Tammy are with them tonight. Tammy's teaching. So be praying for Miss Tammy. Is she's kind of doing what I'm doing. I give her what I would be doing tonight, and she's teaching it like Andrew give me what he would be doing. So be praying for them. But what they're doing is they're going out the first part of their time, and they're hiding the eggs. So they're having fun all hiding the eggs. Then they're going to go back upstairs for their time of worship, Bible study, and prayer tonight with Miss Tammy teaching them tonight. So be praying for them as well. Then tonight when we pray, pray for Pastor Andrew and his family. They're on vacation. They'll be heading back. Should be, I think, Friday coming back. So pray for them. So y'all have any other, in addition to what's on our prayer list, things to be praying for? Don't be shy. A lot of things going on in the life of the church. Be praying for the church and the leadership of the church, and not everyone that's, everybody from our Sunday morning attenders to our people that are in leadership positions. Pray for all. Be praying that first and foremost, everything is done with the purpose of what is God's design, desire, and will is for Eastside Baptist Church. So pray for that. Anybody? No? Sunday is Easter, yes. Things have changed in the last several years, as you have noticed with church. It used to be, you had Easter Sunday was like doors had to be left open for people squeezing in. Things have changed so much, you never know what Easter is going to be like anymore. But just be praying that God will bring and draw people to services on Sunday. Because I tell you what, there's no better time in the life of the church year-round than to celebrate the resurrection. Because as the scripture says, without the resurrection, we have no hope. And that is what our hope and our future all hinges on. And we want to, that's the greatest time. That's the victory of a Christian, is the resurrection. And be praying for Sunday, anyone that may be visiting with us. Be praying for the worship. Brother Ted, y'all got a group that's going to be singing throughout for that. And the message with Pastor Andrew, because I assure you, it's going to be the Easter message, but it's going to be the gospel presentation. So be praying for that as well for this Sunday. Anybody? Anything? Yeah. Amen. That's all good. Well, that's good for any age. You come back good, but yes, absolutely. You always got somebody trying to stir the pot. So, that's good news. All right. Anyone else? I'll praise report too, either one. Absolutely. Anyone else or praise report, either one? Be praying for me and Kim. We had no, y'all know we bought a house a little over a year ago. We've been renovating as we've gone along, and we said, we got the kitchen done. We said, we're taking a break for a while. We're done renovating. The house said, no, you're not. And we sprung a bad leak in the bathroom that's behind all these, and these tiles are 50 years old, no matching. And so it was like, huh? It was, yes, it's like a fallout shelter. It's taking a jackhammer to get it all out. But I guess we're renovating a bathroom. And I'm going, really? So just be praying. My mom and her husband's at the house, and we're down to one bathroom. So. Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Running water. Ooh, okay. All right, let's pray. Brother Ted, would you pray for us tonight? Okay, here's my question. What do you know about 1st and 2nd Chronicles? I know that before Andrew got to this point, everybody studied that. That was part of your studies in the past year or so, right? So when we say 1st and 2nd Chronicles, does anything even come to mind? Nothing really? It's one of those, let me just, I'm going to be honest, I cannot tell you the last time I did a message or a series out of Chronicles with the students. It's just, I don't know why, but as I dove into it, I said, it's got some really cool stuff in it, you know. But I'm going to try to follow the kind of the format and outline that Pastor Andrew went to, had gone through. He gave me like 1, 2, 3, 4, so I don't want to disappoint him. I want to follow his steps here. So, everybody get one of these little cards? Oh, and by the way, next week's is already out there in the little shelving area, so for next week. But as you get it, you can look at it, some quick facts on 1st and 2nd Chronicles. One is, as all books of the Bible, every single book is inspired by the Holy Spirit, ordained by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit for all people at all times. Now, the author, we don't know. And we'll hit on it a little bit later. There's some people that's much smarter than I that have really dug deep into this, and they've got some ideas of who the author may be. But we really don't know who wrote it at all. So we know that, though, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit with an anonymous human author that God used to write for us a book that is very valuable. And we can see the value of it as we dive into it a little bit for God's people then and today. Now, one thing that we do know, that it covers the same time period as 2 Samuel and 2 Kings. Everything that is going on in Chronicles was happening at the same time that 2 Samuel, 2 Kings was going on. So, as someone described it to me, it's different focuses, different views of what's happening. Someone is writing from this point of view over here of what's happening in the kingdom. Someone else is writing from this point. And someone's writing on this point with a different goal and purpose in mind, and they all work in harmony together. So really, when you look at it, y'all did what, Kings last week? If you look at Kings, this was going on at the same time. And if you look at both of them, you can see what's happening simultaneous at the Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. That's all happening at the same time. So it covers the same time period as 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, which is about 1010 B.C. to 587 B.C. time frame. As you dive into it, you'll notice that Chronicles spends a lot of time early on genealogy. And I used to think, oh my goodness, we got to read through the genealogy, get to Matthew, got to read. But the purpose of that, to show how God worked through history, through man, as he planned to get to the cross. And that is the purpose of the genealogy, is to show how God worked through all that. Quick fact number three was 1st and 2nd Chronicles does not gloss over the sins of God's people. If you remember 1st and 2nd Kings, it was how bad you sin. Chronicles, covering the same time frame, doesn't do that. But it don't gloss over and say what they did was okay. They just have a different point of view of what they're trying to address. But it does focus on how good it can be when we fully seek the Lord, instead of the punishment side, how good it can be if we seek God in all that we do. And the quick fact number four is, while much of 1st and 2nd Kings gives us details of the history of the Northern Kingdom, 1st and 2nd Chronicles gives us the details of the Southern Kingdom, Israel and Judah, is the way it kind of breaks down. So that's some quick facts on Chronicles. Any questions on the kind of the really quick overview of it? I'm doing this with my phone and it keeps going to sleep on me. All right, some little background notes on an info on 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Some things that you can see that it has some background that has great influence upon it is the development of a central place of worship. You'll see that come about throughout Chronicles. You'll see God's covenant mentioned in Samuel, elaborated in Chronicles, the God's covenant with David and all. You'll see the rules regarding kings applied and the covenant blessing and curses. You'll see all these things that lead up to it with the golden calf, prophets, and the kings and nations all has influence on the Chronicles and what's going on. But as you look through that, you can see the time kind of the time frame of all of it and where things that happen in history and all. We have the kind of a scale we can see. You know, starting at 1010 BC is kind of when Chronicles starts, time frame that it's covering, which they're talking about there in the first part of it is all the ancestors, Israel's ancestors, the genealogy. Then you see a breakdown of David's reign, then Solomon's reign in Chronicles, and then you see the split of the two kingdoms. Then Second Chronicles, the last part of it, you see the decline, the fall, and the restoration of the southern kingdom. So that's kind of a time layout, time frame of what Chronicles is all covering during this time. So just some things as I was reading over all this. The major characters, I found this interesting. The major characters are people you've always heard about in Bible studies in the Old Testament with Levi, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Those are all some of the major characters throughout the Chronicles. Some of the minor characters, Jehoshaphat and Manasseh, are some of the minor characters that you'll see. The major theme is that Israel has a great heritage because of their history. They have a great heritage and a bright future, and that God's covenant with David and the work of the priest will lead to a restoration of the kingdom. So Israel's great heritage, which brings about, it's kind of like this. We want to know how God is going to bless. Let's look at what he's done in our past. And that's kind of what Chronicles does with the history, heritage of Israel and how God has blessed them and brought them out of slavery and all these things. And say, God has done that then? He's going to do it again. And so that's kind of the approach with Chronicles. So Ezra and Nehemiah that y'all going to be hitting on, I think, next week with Ezra. When you get there, you'll see that the people, the Israelites, are back in their land, but they're struggling to be the people that God had called them to be. And so for this struggle, Chronicles is like trying to encourage them through their difficult times. We see that the people, God's people, sin repeatedly over and over and over. And then how can the people find their inspiration when everything seems to be going bad? And then it starts off by saying, well, look at what God has done. That's our inspiration to move forward. It discusses the best of the nation's past. Therefore, it challenges the new generation to build strong in the future because of what God had done in the past. So that's kind of like an intro into the book. But the book is just, and it's very, it's the name, Chronicle. It is written by its definition. It chronicles the southern kingdom during that time and all. So Chronicles is an anonymous work. Now here's where I found it, and it was written after the exile, but it's really hard to know when it was written. We just know what time frame it was written about. But many folks, because of his interest in the Levites and the priest, many scholars think that Ezra may have wrote Chronicles because of that's his heritage. And because he does, especially towards the second part of Chronicles, they deal a lot with the Levites and the priest and the temple and all. And whoever wrote had a lot of knowledge about that. And so a lot of scholars think Ezra probably possibly wrote Chronicles. But we don't know. Even for the most knowledgeable scholar, still a guess. You know, just trying to put pieces of the puzzle together to figure it all out. So a lot of people assume that Chronicles and Kings are identical. They do have a lot of similarities, but the differences is what sets it apart. It sets both of them apart. Most in this book, as you saw Kings, the sins of the leaders were really brought out. the failures of the leaders, the failures of the king, the failure of people was really brought out. In Chronicles, their failures are not brought out. And it's the same people. But they don't bring out the leaders. Their sins are not mentioned. Rather, their best characteristics as a God follower is brought out and mentioned and brought to the forefront. There's little information about northern Israel throughout the Chronicles. It focuses greatly on the southern part. So it's not that they're glossing over the sins of the leaders. It's that their emphasis is we're trying to build a positive growth foundation for the future instead of bringing out and living through our failures of our leaders in the past. Let's look at the things they did that God blessed, and let's learn from that and do that again, is how they're looking at it. So with the differences between the two, you see Kings is the flawed nation, while Chronicles doesn't disagree with the flaws. It just says it can be so much greater when we fully seek the Lord, is what Chronicles is going after. So the approach will give future generations the sense that they too can do great things for God if they simply seek to know and serve a living God. That is what the writers of Chronicles is trying to pursue. So that's just kind of like an introduction to what Chronicles is all about. Sometimes you hear that, well, King says this, and they were bad, 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 and Chronicles mentions them, but don't mention anything bad they did. So which is right? They're both right. They're both 100% right. It's just that Kings is a warning about the failure and sin and what it can lead to, and Chronicles is an encouragement that if we seek the Lord, this is what he will do. He'll bless like he has in the past. So they're both right. It's just the different reasoning behind the writing of the books, kind of thing. So, Chronicles 1 through 9 is all about his ancestors. And that's important because we know that there's one lineage that Jesus has promised to come through, right? So we have to know the ancestors on how all this feeds through to get through to where we see Christ. It begins in Chronicles, even talking about Adam. Through Jacob's son, it includes David's family, Judah, Levi. And they do spend a lot of time on David and during his time through. But the first nine is all about the ancestry, the heritage of the Israelites. As I thought about it, it made me think of David. You could look at David and go, man, he was one messed up guy. Really messed up guy. But then you could look at it and go, oh my goodness, look at what he did, and he was a man after God's own heart. And it's the same guy, the same person. And that's kind of the way this was written. For us, for Chronicles to look at and go, no matter what failures, what sin we've done, God can still do great things if we seek and follow him and pursue after him. And so the ancestors are all leading up through that. Then the next part of Chronicles, chapter 10 through 29, is all about David's reign and then God's promises to David. And we can see parallels with that in Samuel, what's going on with that. But it's David and his reign and the promises and how this will all eventually lead to the one true king. Something I kind of stood out. I read this earlier today, but some things that helps explain Chronicles' view of the history here. First, Saul's career receives only 14 verses. There's very little about Saul, But it basically, Saul serves as a prelude to David. Okay? So Chronicles thereby avoids discussing Saul's rebellion against God. Again, that fits into the narrative of what Chronicles is trying to do. Second, Chronicles offers a longer account of how David brings the ark to Jerusalem than what Kings does. It includes a beautiful psalm recited for the occasion, and Chronicles focuses on David's role as a benefactor of this building the sanctuary. Then the text says nothing about David's affair, nothing at all. So that as they're building through the lineage, the restoration of David is the focus and not his failures. As you move forward, another part of it is Chronicles. It chronicles David as he gathers everything to build the temple, and then Solomon, all he has to do is build the temple. It presents David as the patron, orderly, centralized of founding of the worship of the temple, and how he strives to honor God who has honored him greatly. And so that's kind of, so they spend a lot of time on David, in Chronicles. Now, one of the similarities that you'll see in what you read last week is the account of David, of God's promise to David of an eternal kingdom. God promised him that he would have an everlasting kingdom. That was mentioned in Kings. That's also going to be mentioned. It's mentioned in Chronicles. It's because this promise becomes a very focal point of the Old Testament, very focal point of the rest of the book. David is so prominent in Chronicles because of the promise that he would basically be the anchor of the rest of Israel's history leading up to Christ. Then 2 Chronicles deals with Solomon's reign. And it's all portrayed in a very positive way in the second Chronicles, chapters 1 through 9. And it talks about how Solomon asks for and receives wisdom from God, and how the people should be following that. And the result of his wisdom that God blessed him with is Israel's unparalleled prosperity during that time. That God had really blessed Israel. But most importantly, Solomon builds the temple. God's glory fills the temple in worship. And then God responds favorably to Solomon's dedication of the temple. So it's building, really what I see it doing is building a relationship that's probably more evidence because of the temple for God and his people. They have somewhere where they say, you know, you can go and go, this is where I encounter God. Again, Chronicles don't mention Solomon's idolatries. Rather, it stresses his days of faithful service because their goal is to encourage people to pursue God to receive the blessings that he promises. And then the end of Chronicles covers, of 2 Chronicles, the division of the kingdoms, the fall, which, you know, that's bad. It is bad. But it don't end there. It wraps up with the restoration of God's people. This portion of the book deals almost exclusively with Judah's kings. Samaria's rulers only mentioned a little bit here, but it deals with the destruction and then the rebuilding. It does not want readers to dwell on the destruction. Instead, the book closes with a decree that Israel can return home and rebuild the temple. It ends with this challenge. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him and let him go up. So it ends with encouragement of restoration and all. So as I read the Chronicles, went through it, I just found it interesting. It had been so long since I, looking at the background of all of it, just how Chronicles was totally meant to be an encouraging book for God's people. Think about it. We can look at people that fail us all the time. People in leadership, spiritual leadership. I mean, that we went through a time a few years back, if you remember, it seemed like every television preacher was doing something stupid. I mean, I don't know if you, it was just like every time you turned around. But Chronicles is not like dwelling. It says, don't dwell on the failure. Dwell on the restoration of what can happen when we pursue God. Don't put our faith and trust in people that can fail. Put our faith and trust in the God that restores. And so that is blessed in the past, will bless tomorrow when we pursue Him. And we worship Him and we go after what He desires. The summary that I was able to come up with as I was reading is, the past can be viewed in many ways. It can be looked upon with regret over missed opportunities, lost causes, and broken dreams. On the other hand, it can be viewed as a picture of glory that spurs us on to new heights. Neither perspective is totally mistaken. Chronicles believes that exiles must embrace the goodness of their heritage. They can be grateful for their brilliant leaders, a beautiful temple, and eternal covenant. They can find hope for themselves by seeing others, and at the same time, they can avoid the failures of the past. Kind of a summary of Chronicles. So, as you go through that, one of the things that I was always taught is, any of y'all familiar with what's called the Gospel Project? It's a study that starts in Genesis and it goes through the Bible. With everything before the Gospel, it shows a thread pointing to the Gospel from Genesis, Exodus, all the way through that points to the Gospel. Then after the Gospel, in the New Testament, it points back to all of this, so it points back to the Gospel. That's why it's called the Gospel Project. And every study, no matter whether you're doing a study in Chronicles or you're doing one in Daniel or you're doing one wherever it is, it wraps it up with the Gospel thread of how does this point to the Gospel. And there's a bunch of that in Chronicles. There's so much that points to the ultimate Gospel. Just as I brainstormed, you know, one was as it went through the genealogy, you follow it, it points to Christ. It eventually leads to Christ. You see God's promise to David that was fulfilled in Christ. You see the promise that God's name would be among all nations in Chronicles. We can see that through the Gospel. We see the promise of forgiveness. And as believers, we've experienced that through the Gospel. We see repentance in 2 Chronicles. We see that through the Gospel. Then we see hope for healing and restoration that is in Chronicles. And that is what the Gospel is all about. For every one of us is hope for healing and restoration. Y'all remember, you lose track of time. It's been a long time ago when Pastor Andrew went through the life circles. You remember that? I love the life circles. I've actually, probably 6 or 7 years, I just love it because it's the Gospel, simple for even any of us to be able to share, but it's easy to customize it to fit what God has laid on your heart and to be able to share the Gospel. And it starts with creation, that God created Adam and Eve to walk with God in the garden, and that's why He created us, for us to have relationship with Him, to walk with Him in harmony. And then the sin separates. But a big part of the three circles is where we get through the hope of healing and restoration. And that is where in the three circles the gospel actually fit into the story. And you see that in Chronicles with the division of God's people. And the healing and the restoring of God's people back, and then being able to rebuild their temple in celebration and worship of God. That is a picture of every one of us when we came to Christ. It is an exact picture of the hope of healing and restoration back to what God intended for us. That was for us to walk in harmony with Him in a relationship with Him. And so I think it's just cool. And as you dive into every book of the Old Testament, you can see threads of the gospel through it, throughout. And it's no different for Chronicles. You see it. And my favorite part of it was the end of it with the restoration of His people. Because without restoration, I'll be honest, I don't know about you, but I would feel pretty hopeless knowing that I don't have the ability and not able to be restored back to God. I mean, that would be a very hopeless situation to be in. But even Chronicles shows that's possible when we pursue God. So I thought that was really cool. So there's a lot of threads. Pastor Andrew calls it gospel signpost. I don't know, I had a professor always use the word threads. There's threads of the gospel throughout. All of it, signposts, markings of the gospel. So and there's a lot more. If you dive into it, there's a lot more. Then as you read through it, you can see all the kings. They talk that's listed out. You can see the dates on them. You got it on the card here. But if you spend some time reading it, some things to look for, you can look at that as you spend time diving into two Chronicles. Kings who worshipped idols, kings who did not worship idols, you figure out who did what. Kings who worshipped in Jerusalem, some destroyed idols, kings who brought spiritual renewal, God's provision of a faithful witness, God's sovereignty over all nations, God's faithful discipline instead of wrath. Just as you read, just some things to have in mind to look for is how God works with His people. And some questions you can ask as you do a study through Chronicles. But it was interesting. There's a lot in Chronicles. And I'll be honest, when you start reading the ancestors part, it can be dry. I'm not going to read them out loud to all the students because half the names I can't pronounce and they're just going to laugh at me. That's why I ask somebody else to read when we're doing genealogy. Some of it is hard. It's like, I've got to read through this. It's like when you're reading through Matthew at the first part, but there's a reason for all that. So questions on Chronicles, anything that stands out, any stories that really stand out that you go, that's cool, that means something to me? Oh, the fire from heaven signpost. What that was is Pastor Andrew put that down as a signpost, but it's God's acceptance of our offering. And as you read through it, when Chronicles, when fire from heaven come down and consumed the offering, it was, if you read through, and I actually read through it, I struggled with grasping it totally. But the best I could grasp it was this. That it was God's way of saying, I accept your best offered to me as an offering. And the fire from heaven was His acceptance of the offering to Him. And in the Old Testament, when it's referred to, it's God's accepting of Christ's offering on our behalf. That He accept that offering on our behalf. But the consuming of the fire from heaven was, every commentary I read, it was like God saying, I approve and I accept of your offering. And the consuming of it was accepting it. I struggled with trying to wrap my brain around it. What did that really? And some of the commentaries didn't even address it. And I'm going, okay, you're in the same boat I am too. You're struggling with it, so you're not going to address it. But that was what I could gather. It was just God's way of saying, I approve and accept of the offering. I hope that makes sense. But I did. I struggled with that. Anything else in Chronicles that just kind of stands out? And there's a lot of merit to that. I served with the pastor for several years, loved him to death. He taught me some things that I still use today. But that was his personality. And if there was something that was negative to come up within the body of the church, it did not need to come to light. It needed to be dealt with privately because he felt the church always needed to see the encouraging, uplifted side of things. If that makes sense. And that's the way, and I served with him, I don't know, about 7 years. But that was just, he felt that the church didn't need, you know, if there was something negative, it needed to be dealt with privately. The church needed to be continually uplifted and encouraged to move forward and pursue. And, you know, so like what you said, that was, some people, that's their personality, I guess, to look at. The cup is always halfway full. It's never halfway empty, you know. Yeah. Well, and I think even like with Chronicles, it didn't become because they did talk about the fall. There was some bad thing, but it ended up on the good. So, but yeah, I agree with you. You can't be unrealistic with it, absolutely. Waiting on something else. Anything that stands out? Somebody's got something. I like this part of it. But Well. I think it absolutely can. I think that's why you have Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. They all address it and it's all true, but some is for that encouragement. Look, you sin, this is the consequences, you need to avoid it, okay? Or you sin, let's learn from it, let's move on, or let's just look at the good side. I mean, all of it, I think, in 30 years of ministry, working, some of you, anybody in here with teachers? Some students, you can motivate them by kicking them in the tail, and they're going to do better. Some students, you have to coax them and pat them on the back and to get them to succeed and move forward. And I think that's the way this is. Sometimes it takes the swift kick in the tail to get our attention to move forward, and sometimes it's that encouragement, little pat on the back to keep us moving. And so, but yeah, all of it, no matter what it is, learning from the failures of their kings was important. They just, in Chronicles, they didn't dwell on the failures. They dwelled on the positive to encourage to move forward. Anyone? You got time. All right. Well, next week I think it's Ezra and Nehemiah. The papers are out here. Ms. Marilyn told me she put some out earlier today, so you can grab those. If you have any other really deep questions about Chronicles, you can ask. I reserve the right to say, I don't know, I got to look it up. Or save it for Pastor Andrew. But it is, it's good. Just take some time, read through it, and just see through that book how God used it as a book to encourage his people to ultimately for restoration to bring together. All right? Well, I think there's some truth to the old saying that if we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And I think that's a lot of that. There's a lot of truth to that. God don't send us through the fire not to learn how to walk in it with him. And if we don't learn how to walk with it with him, we may find ourselves walking in the fire again. But I think there's some truth. God, you know, he don't promise that we're not going to face difficulties. But as we do, lean on him and learn what it's like to depend on him and learn through it. That's it. All right. Thank you all for coming. We're going to pray. And just, you know, just be praying. And here's my challenge for you. If you come across someone between now and Sunday that does not have a church home, take that as God's given you an opportunity to invite. I'm not perfect at it by any stretch, but something I try to incorporate in what I do, and I try always pushing the students, if God allows someone to cross your path, they're not crossing your path by accident. Don't miss out on an opportunity to make Jesus known. With Easter, that's no better chance to invite someone to join you. Invite someone to join with you on Sunday. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful that even throughout your history, Father, we can see you move in the lives of people, how you ordain things so that your will could be accomplished, Father. We thank you that even through the book of Chronicles, we see the rise and the fall and the restoration of people, Father, just like through Christ, Father, you have given us hope of healing and restoration back to you, and we thank you for that. We just pray, Father, that as we go from here, that we just don't miss opportunities, Father, to go by. Don't let them slip by where we could have made a difference, Father, for you. And we just pray that we do that, Father, as we work or we're visiting or we see folks in our neighborhood. We just pray now you bless this week as we prepare for Sunday, for the message, your word of hope, and the gospel that you laid on Pastor Andrew's heart. Pray that you just continue to work with him. And for the music, Father, this Sunday, that it all be for the purpose of drawing the focus to Christ and his resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.